This is Nika Ray. Tonight our show is over. It's about why can't I find a good man? So this is geared towards all my ladies out here who are finding it difficult to find the man that they want. We're going to talk about that tonight. I do have a panel of guests tonight, and I have, of course, Shonda Ray, who's always the my co-host. Then I have Michelle on tonight, and soon we will be joined by our male panelist tonight, who is Antonio. So Michelle and Shonda Ray, are you all here? Or hey, is Mika. This the male call? Hey, Shonda.
Oh, cool.
And I did get somebody. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Oh, can
you hear me? So this is the male co-host. Okay,
oh.
Well, he's on.
I was sitting in the background. I didn't know if I was on yet. Okay. Oh,
you
hello everybody out there.
Hey, Antonio, thank you so much for joining us. And see, I can see some of the numbers come up. And you and Michelle, I think y'all both have Virginia numbers.
Yeah, we're both originally from Norfolk. Well, I can't say original. I'm originally from there. I can't speak for her, but yeah, it's the hometown, the Hampton Roads area.
Okay, well, great, great, great. I am so happy to have you both on. She is going to join us in just a second. And give me one moment, because for some reason my system just shut down, so... One second. I'm going to have to sit up here and restart it. So while it's restarting, tell me, Antonio, just a little bit about yourself and what made you join the show this evening.
Well, and aside from the fact I think I was volunteered to a degree, actually, I'm originally from here in Norfolk, Virginia, born and raised. I went to Booker T. Washington High School afterwards. I joined the Marine Corps, did that for a few years, came home, did the college thing. But, you know, on and off, I've always just been a curious soul, always studying above and beyond just whatever my normal studies were at the time, whether it was learning avionics in the Marine Corps or just studying business in college. It was just having this curious soul. So I was always researching different topics and just finding just some interesting understanding for myself. And I guess I'm just one of those individuals who's not afraid to kind of share bits and pieces of my perspective on the big picture as I see it. And, you know, everybody's unique. Everybody has their own journey, their own story. And throughout my little piece of the journey, I've been able to, I think, learn quite a lot, and I can say that when my journey here comes to an end, it will not be a wasted journey, to say the least.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting.
Go ahead, Shonda.
Antonio, did you say you were single as well?
Oh, no, I'm not single. I'm engaged.
Okay. I was just going to say, because you sound like a great catch. I know the ladies got all excited hearing some of that.
Oh, I apologize.
You sound like a
for
really
that.
Great guy.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. But everybody's a great catch. Put it this way. Everybody's a great catch to somebody. It's just a matter of finding that catch that's a fit for you, so to speak. So, you know, everybody got something to give the world. That's why we're here anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to hear that perspective already. In other words, there's somebody for everybody.
Definitely.
And the right person can make you a better person? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, they can. That's without a doubt. You know, we're all a part of the human family, and when you get down to it, everybody wants to find somebody to connect with on whatever level.
Why do you think women are having the issue of finding a man? What do you think the problem is?
Oh, wow. Like anything else, you could teach a college course on that and still not cover everything. But, I mean, there's a few factors that come to mind. And one thing that stands out to me first and foremost is that, as, you know, I know it's probably a good – we've got listeners of all backgrounds, all races, all nationalities, but, you know, I'm assuming it's a good amount of African-American, black, whatever you want to define yourself as, more, whatever the case may be, out there who – when you get down to it, people have relationship issues in every walk of life. But we as a people, black people, have adopted a culture which, in a sense, was cultivated for the purpose of keeping us divided, especially the masculine and the feminine energy. Because when you get at the root of it all, the number one issue with the planet as a whole, not just men and women, just the planet as a whole, is the masculine feminine principle is skewed right now. And what you have going on in this day and time is, and let me put a little disclaimer out there, take nothing that I say as gospel. You know, I'm just one man, and when you get down to it, I'm just sharing one opinion. But it's my educated opinion based on my journey, my studies up until this point. You know, but in a sense, when you get down to it, the masculine and the feminine principles are always dueling it out, so to speak. And that's just not just in the human family. That's with plants, animals, energy, you name it. You can always identify the masculine and the feminine principle behind it if you really pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So what you have going on this planet as a whole right now is you have people who are intentionally causing and putting forth an effort to keep this imbalance going, and especially within the households. Let me just say the community, because when you divide it even more within the households, especially people of color, lower income people, keep them divided. They're easier to manipulate. They're easier to control to whatever degree. So our culture, as it's been defined over the past 100 years or so, is something that was formed out of necessity, but now it's reached a tipping point where we as a people, we as a species, have to really decide how we want to change the situation. Because right now you have, and like I said, I don't care what you like men, you like women, more power to you. But what it's boiling down to is you have, since the black male has been removed from the, not just the household, but from certain imagery in the consciousness of our young black males and black women, that it's caused a severe case of gender confusion to a degree. And I don't say that in the bad sense. I say that in the sense where you have little boys who have grown out without the with the absence of no male, or not just a male, but a kind of like, not just an alpha male, but I mean it in a sense where a man who's about his stuff, not just working, but he's knowledgeable, he's spiritual. And when I say spiritual, I just don't mean religion. And let me throw that in there right now. And I don't want to, you know, offend anyone. But when you get down to it, in order to define how, or to figure out how to get out of a problem, you actually have to figure out, well, how did you get into it in the first place? And in a lot of situations, we don't actually want to look at how we got here. How did our culture get defined over the past 100 years? What exactly happened to us as a whole? We all know about slavery, but slavery was only one aspect of it. We know about the physical chains, but the most powerful tool of that was implemented during the times of so-called oppression was control of the mind through basically controlling people's perception of God. And I know for a lot of people this might sound kind of far out there, but the picture is much bigger than what we've been taught to perceive it as.
And I don't
right
think it's
now,
that far out there, Antonio. I really don't. I think it's really good information. But what
mm-hmm.
would you say to that female that's listening right now who is just saying, you know what, I've done everything I know to do. Why can't I find a man? What am I doing wrong? What do you see as a man that women, what mistake are they making? If you didn't have but a few minutes to give them some quick advice,
yeah. Well,
what
one
would
of
you
the things,
tell them?
Well, one of the things is if you get down to the core of it all, you got to know who you are first. And we got a whole bunch of not just females but men who have no idea who and what they are. You know,
okay.
Like I said, the idea of the black male has been corrupted. The ideal of the or the imagery of the black woman has been corrupted. Because it came to mind, when you look at popular culture nowadays, turn on the television or listen to us on the radio, what is the dominant imagery of the black woman that you're given?
Not really good.
To most white America and other cultures, other nationalities, the dominant of the image of the black woman that they see is Real Housewives of Atlanta, basketball
right.
wives, bad girls. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
The imagery is totally warped and corrupted. I mean, and breaking it down to the strong black female, what imagery have women of color and women as a whole been given as idols over the past 10, 20, 30 years? What has been the evolution of the ideal black woman? Who was the image of it in the past, and who is the image that you're given now? But most offhand, they'll say, oh, Beyonce. I have no issue whatsoever with Jay-Z and Beyonce. You can say they're Illuminati, call them what you want. But they're living their life the way they choose to live it, with their version of their free will. You got people who talk about them all day, yet they're going to gossip sites, they're listening to the music by the album. So, okay, if you pay that much attention to this particular man or woman, that man or woman becomes the god of your reality. In fact, that doesn't just apply to the man or woman that you got your eye on or that is in your life. Whatever consumes your consciousness the most throughout the course of your day becomes the god of your reality, because that's all you're thinking about.
Right.
So what have little boys and girls been given to think about? I mean, it's funny because even one of the first words children learn is McDonald's. Be surprised if you look into the research. My daughter knew the word McDonald's at 1 year old. Well, that's fine and dandy, but besides food, what else are they trying to push to your children? What other imagery? They are sexualizing children. They're sexualizing babies on television.
I agree, Antonio. I want to put a pin right there 1 second because Michelle has called in, so I want to make sure she gets on as well so we can share her topic as well, share her thoughts
mm-hmm.
as well. But I want to come back to what you said in reference to sexualizing women. But let me bring her on really quickly. Michelle,
hello.
Are you there?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Good.
I'm
so
I
happy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, no, I wanted to finish hearing what Antonio was saying.
Oh, about the – oh, feel free. You're the host. I'm the guest. I'll shut my mouth.
Well, I love what you're talking about, and I know sometimes it can – a lot of us don't like to look at these in terms of generational – I guess from a generational aspect – we have been through oppression in a lot of different ways in society when it comes to, you know, the black male and black female in our culture completely. And then we have developed these learned behaviors that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it has created a culture of single men, single women, women who, like you were saying before, may they are aspiring to be the next basketball wife or the next housewife person of Atlanta or whatever. And then you have these men, because of a lot of the imagery out there, like you had said, they are treating women, some of them, not all of them, treating women in a downgraded sense because of what's being shown out there. And I think it has a lot to do with the music that we bring, the videos that are out there, the things that we're saying about women, how we're treating women, how women are treating men. And it all equals up to this whole sexualized thing, like you said, when it comes to kids. Because I was noticing with children that some of the swimsuits that they've come out with now are very skimpy for little kids. I don't know if you all have noticed that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of the clothing, like the shorts, are really tight. The shirts are halter top, things that I don't think kids should wear and should even be, you know, those things shouldn't be made for children in the first place.
It's an imagery that has been conditioned into us because we started sexualizing the adult body at younger and younger ages. The older you get, the better a nice young thing looks to you, so to speak. But you got those who it's not just about the actual, how did I put this? You got people, I mean, the whole, let's say, not to bring up a harsh topic, but child molestation is running rampant. It's running rampant to a degree that they don't really discuss the numbers of it. But one of the places where it's lacking coverage to a big degree is in the black and brown households, where it's a very common thing. And where when things like this go on, especially when it's someone that you put your trust into, it really fractures, for lack of better words, the consciousness of a young boy or girl. Because when you go through something traumatic like that, it's going to mess something up in the way you see the world from that point on, so to speak.
Well, it definitely changes your worldview.
It does, without a doubt. And even to continue that, you spoke on the music and the videos. I mean, they got videos with, I know one in particular, the boy couldn't have been no more than about 12, 13, 14 years old, and he's by a pool with adult women in bikinis bouncing right beside him. And I'm just saying to myself, oh, wow, this is on television right now, okay. I mean, when you get down to it, who am I to judge? He got parents. You know, I have no control over what goes on in that particular young man's life. But if he were to hear me speak, or I would get a chance to speak to him face to face, then he would get a different perspective on things, because there's nothing wrong with sexuality to a degree. There's nothing wrong with it. Sexuality is natural. When you see the utmost beauty in something, it could be a flower. It doesn't have to be another person. It's almost a sexual type energy because it's the energy of creation. And one of the reasons a lot of these so-called pedophiles and things like that want to deal with young people is because their soul, their energy is less corrupted. It's had less time to get altered and dented by the bumps and bruises and ups and downs of the world. So now it's at a point where we have to alter the perception of our children, because as it's currently going, the children are obsessing over the same thing the adults are obsessing over.
Other people's
bodies and materialism.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring someone else on really quickly who had a question. So
yes.
Give me 1 second.
Hello.
Hello, 9162. Are you on?
Yes, this is Nadia. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, I didn't really have a question. I had. I wanted to comment on the conversation.
Okay. We're listening.
All right. I know you were talking about what goes on in the Black community, and as far as, you know, how children are being over-sexualized, and I know Shamika made a comment on the bikinis and the outfits that are being put in stores for the children. And as a mother of two little girls, I believe that it's also what you do with your children. I personally don't think it's cute to have my seven-year-old in a two-piece. My seven-year-old will not wear a two-piece. My seven-year-old will ask me to wear a two-piece. It's just not happening because she's 7 years old. So as a parent, you have to disregard what you see on the streets or what's in the now and parent your own child based on the morals that you have. And what the problem is, babes are having babies and the morals are being lost. And the
just real quick, I think you drove home an excellent point right there. Well, you know, we've all heard it before, babies having babies. Now, you can have a young girl at 15, one in one environment, one in another. One can just let that baby take her downhill. One can overcome the odds and be the CEO
Correct.
Of a corporation.
Correct.
And when you get down to it, we got to redefine our culture, like what dictates maturity
right.
to our
now,
young men and women.
My girlfriend had her first child at 16, had the second one at 19. But this is also a 32-year-old woman that is a year away from finishing her master's. And so she has always stayed on the path of, I'm going to get my education, I'm going to do well for my children, and, you know, and the wild child that she was before she had her son, when she had her son, that was completely cut out, and she focused on being a mother. But she's also had the influence of her mother, who worked two jobs, who was very dedicated to her children, and, you know, and showed her what being a mother was about. Sometimes when you are a young mother, you're put out and you have to fend for yourself and you have to learn by yourself of what being a parent is. And sometimes you just don't know because you're a child yourself, or your mother or your grandmother takes care of the child and you never learn any real responsibility anyway. For me, with girls, I know how people can talk. I know how people can perceive women, so I'm very conscious of what I allow my, well, one is only one, so she has a long way to go, but as far as my seven-year-old, I watch what I allow her to do. She's only seven, so no, you're not wearing shoes with the heels. I don't care if they make it in your size. No, you're not wearing lip gloss. I don't care if it's clear. You're not doing it. No, you're not wearing your shorts up your behind. No, you're not wearing nail polish. And no, you're not wearing it on your feet or your hands, because when you put all of that on, you're looking like a grown woman. A pedophile is going to look at you and see a grown woman. I'm not going to dress my child up to be interested by an older man, because I'm putting her on a partner that way. To me, it's just not cute. It's not cute for me to say I'm going in with my seven-year-old to get a mani a pedi. It's not cute to me. But in this generation, it is. My fiance says that I'm raising a little, for lack of a better word, Caucasian persuasion child. I'm a Black woman. My child, because of the music she listens to, there is a version of all of the songs that are played on the radio, pop songs that are played on the radio. They put it in a kids version called Kids Pop. That's what the Caucasian people do for their children. So instead of saying throw your glasses in the air, they say throw your hands in the air. Everything that is inappropriate, they change to a child version so it is not inappropriate for them. But yet, they're still the same songs that are being played on the radio. We as Black people, we don't do that for our children. We don't care what our children listen to. It's cute for us for them to. The it's cute for them to know. Make it rain, make it rain. But they don't know how to do 1 + 1 = 2. But they want to YouTube.
Oh, go ahead. Finish that thought, then I'm going to jump in.
I was going to say, but the YouTube, all the stupidness of them popping their behind, rolling their, you know, rolling their head, and it starts at from the children and what you're taught as growing up and what you carry on to your child. But if you weren't child, taught as a child, then you're not going to teach your child.
And can I add something to this? I didn't want to step on, but
sure.
Just to go, I love digging a little deeper. That's just one thing I love, to go a little bit deeper with it. It's more than just the children starting to mimic certain things, but we got to ask ourselves, when, at what point do they start actually trying to sell sex to children? How old are they when marketing companies start tapping into their heads saying, hey, we can put something out there that will plant a seed down the road, because they do this in the corporate world. Now, the number one tool, is if everyone hasn't forgotten, is the television. Now, we think, because I'm going to be honest, I have a daughter who will be 16 in a few months. So I'm raising a young lady. I have a son who's about to turn 14. Daughter was not allowed to watch the Disney Channel in my house coming up. And she used to get so upset and never understood why. And I said, you'll understand when you get a little bit older. And then I was honest with her, because she's highly intelligent at this age. And when she was little, I didn't talk to her all the time using baby words. She would say, Daddy, why do you use big words around me? Okay, so you can learn them. So I finally told her the reason why I didn't want you watching the Disney Channel is because the number one perpetrator of selling sex to children is Disney. Don't be fooled by the rabbit ears and DuckTales, because they do it in such, they are masters of subliminal imagery, and that the number one thing a white parent especially will do, we'll flip the Disney Channel on and think, because there's three little bunnies hopping on the screen, that there's nothing sexual taking place on a subconscious degree. But it is. And the same thing goes for PBS. Think they're not selling sex to your children with Sesame Street, because they are. Matter of fact, the puppeteer who did Elmo was arrested for pedophilia. So
okay.
When we want to take a whole...
Oh, go finish it, and then I'm going to say my piece.
Yeah, just real quick, like I say, if we want to take a real look at how deep the issue is when it comes to the confusion that's going on between men and women, we have to really reflect on how men and women are being defined by the imagery that is being put in front of them at the various stages of life. What defines a baby, what defines a good child, a good teenager, a good man, a good woman, a good daughter.
Yes, definitely. I agree with both of your points very much so. And I feel that you both made, you know, valid points. Like when you think about what has been shown to our children with what we watch and the things that they are placing out there in the media. But then I feel like Nadia made a very good point when she spoke about we have to be more careful of the things that we are teaching our kids to. What are we allowing our kids to do? What are we allowing our kids to watch? Also, what are we teaching our children when they do see those certain things out there in the media? How are we talking about it with them? Because we're going to see sex. They're going to see sex. And it's sad to say we cannot keep them from seeing it. They're going to see it. They're going to hear about it in school from other kids, or may overhear someone talking about it, a teacher or whatever. It's going to be heard about. So how are we teaching it to them? What are we saying to them when they do hear it? And this is what I feel. I feel like we took sex education out of the schools, and I think that was one of the biggest detriments to our youth. I do think they need to be taught about sex. They have to be taught about their bodies, that it's not a bad thing. It's not something to be ashamed of, that your vagina is your vagina, and you need to love it, embrace it, respect it, treat it with respect. But if we don't place value on sex, then they're not going to place value on sex. And it's just going to become this thing that's like, oh, I could just go out here and I'd give it to anybody. Because no one else is placing value on it, and we're not teaching them the right things as it relates to sex and how to respect their bodies and how to demand respect from someone else, male or female. Because, you know, we teach boys that, and I'm saying we as a society, we're teaching boys that the more women you have sex with, the more of a man you are. So we're not even teaching them to respect their bodies. So if we don't teach them to respect their bodies, they're definitely not going to respect the body of a female or going to value them above sex. So I think it starts with us teaching our kids what sex is, what their bodies mean to them, what those body parts mean to them, and how to value sex and their sexual parts so that they will want to value each other.
If you don't mind, can I add something, madam? I think that's definitely a valid point, without question, and one that's been raised numerous times before. And the issue that, just based on my observation, that I find a lot of times boils down back down to, okay, let's say we start teaching them, but it's based on whose ideals of sex. Remember, we're still a people who are suffering from post-traumatic slave disorder. Just 150 years ago, they were pulling the men out in front of the women of the town and not only burning them alive, but castrating them in front of the women. And there was more to it than just that. That's just some of the light stuff they did. So a culture of fear has been cultivated into the mind of women of color when it comes to sexuality, because back then sex wasn't anything necessarily pleasurable most times. It was just taking the two big slaves and putting them together. We all know that A produce a big baby. But with that came the mandingoism of it all, came that there was no attachment. There was no the spiritual aspect of the sexuality was negated, because sexuality became mechanized, so to speak, just a mechanical tool for producing more instruments. It was a production line for quite some time. So over how long would it take us as a people to condition ourselves back to our former state of culture and sexuality? Not that we have to replicate it in every aspect, but we should be able to reach back into it and find out, how did we as a culture handle the relationships of men and women back then? How was it viewed? What was a man's role within a society? Not just, and the society breaks it down to the household. What was a woman's role there? But now we have a modern culture that has been handed to us as a residual part of chattel slavery. And
I
was just going to say something real quick. I don't think that at this point, what I can say is this. I do feel like we have been acculturated to a point as a black culture coming from, and this is not now though, but as a black culture coming from, when we came to the United States, in the way that we were acculturated to the norms of this society that the white people at the time were trying to rebuild. And I'm putting that in quotes. So at this point, though, we're not there anymore. We have adapted.
Right.
We're already here. We're already in this modern world. It's already there. It's no longer about us being acculturated at this point.
Well,
now what it's about is, we, and I just want to say this real fast, I feel like we have to start redefining ourselves by not allowing our mindset, our viewpoints to reflect the negativity that comes across, the propaganda that comes across the TV screen about black people. And until we stop subscribing to that, then we're going to continue to have the breakdown that we're having. And, of course, I know a lot of this stuff happened because of slavery, because of the oppression, the things that we have experienced. But at this point, it's time for us to step up, stop being what they are telling the world that we are. Stop subscribing to it, stop acting like it, and start redefining who the black culture really is.
I think somewhere along the lines, we lost what respect for each other was. We lost what the gender roles were, if you want to follow gender roles as to speak. For example, now the woman wants to work. Now it's a trend now that most women are making more money in the household than the man is now. And that's in a lot of households right now. It's a trend now that a lot of men are staying home and being house dads, and women are going to work. That's the trend that's going on now. So the roles in the house are starting to change, and we don't necessarily understand or know how to go with the change as black people. The household has always been changing, and for some reason, it is easier for a white man to accept his wife as being a breadwinner. It's easier for him to accept the roles that means that he's doing the cooking, he's doing the babysitting, he's doing the chauffeur and the kids around. It's for some reason, maybe it's because a lot of more of them have had the two-parent household, so they are easier to adapt to it. But it comes from your household and how we are raising our children. And a lot of times I'm talking to mothers while you're dating, and the first thing they ask you, do you cook, do you clean? They want you to be your son's maid, which is okay, but guess what? I'm also working. Is he paying all those bills in this house? No, he's not. So therefore, now that we are both in this working household, we have to share other workloads, and it is not built in the black man's psyche to take on most men, I'm not saying all, so I'm generalizing right now, to take on the role of what a quote-unquote woman should do, because their mother, who has been a single black mother for the most part, has done the work, has done the cooking, has done the cleaning, has done the chauffeuring around. They have done it all. So in their head, they're saying, well, my mom can do it all, why can't you? Which they're not understanding that to make a successful household, roles have to be shared. And that is, I think, where it breaks down to, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, I'm not happy because of this, I'm not happy because of that. Because I tell you this much, if I'm the only person that's cooking, cleaning, taking care of these children, and I'm working the same amount of hours, guess what is going to fail? It's not going to be my job. It's not going to be my children. It is going to be my relationship, because I'm not going to focus on that much, because I want my kids to be successful and I know I need this income. So our relationship is going to go to the wayside, and that's when the cheating comes in. That's when the fighting comes in. That's when the abuses as far as substance, gambling, all kind of things come in, because then you find time to do other things instead of focus on your relationship. And we as black people, we haven't figured out how to master that as quickly as the Caucasian people have.
I don't think that's
a valid point. Go ahead, Antonio. And then when you finish, I'm going to bring on a caller, okay?
Okay. Definitely valid points. I just want to backtrack, too, to add that considering a lot of these single-parent households, we've got to ask ourselves, well, why are they single-parent households? Because we know the black male is the most marginalized individual in modern society next to the black woman. It's just that the black woman is less feared, so it to a certain degree, so in a threatening sense, because they'll let you get into the colleges a lot more easier. They'll allow you to get access to certain things. There's less fear involved when you invite a black woman through the door than when you invite a black male through the door. So when that black male is sitting there, and he might have got some misdemeanors, one or two felonies, not necessarily because he committed a crime, but because he just straight up got framed.
It's because of slavery. I'm sorry, let me just get this one out there real quick. It is because of slavery. They have taught us how to divide ourselves. And once slavery was over, what they did was they employed the black women as seamstress, as maids, as whatever the case may be, and they didn't employ the black man. So they put these, they're in the home, and now you're not working, you're not bringing any money, so therefore now they're separating you in the home because now the black woman is saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and they're belittling the man, so therefore he either leaves or beat on them because they're not feeling sufficient enough in their relationships or in their roles as in their household because that's what they set up for us to fail. They have set up for us to fail from the jump, and we have yet to come over it. My sister makes more money than her husband, and not once does she ever throw it in his face. Not once does she ever bring up how much money she makes compared to how much money he makes because she knows better. And a lot, back then and continually now is our thing to do, well, I'm making the money, so I'm doing this. We have been taught to ridicule our men, to look down on our men, and to not support our men when our men are not doing as good as we are. We have been taught to do that because they have taught us to do that, and we've allowed them to do that to us. And we don't notice and see that we can. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Shamik. I'm done.
No, you're right. I'm just saying. Yet we continue to subscribe to, which goes back to how we need to start redefining what relationships mean to us in our own culture. And now, I think this, all of this, what we talked about is a great framework, a great foundation to what this show is about.
And what is this show about? We've been all over the place. What is this show about?
Yeah. We haven't been all over the
place.
Good foundation, a strong house.
Find a man.
Right. We've been all over the place, but it is about why can't I find a good man? And we do have to look at the implications of the things that have happened to us in the past as a culture that has brought us to where we are now when it comes to, why aren't we just getting along as a couple? Why can't we find that person that fits us? What are we doing that's keeping them from coming in?
Helping us
be a team. And I'm just saying that I think that everything that we just talked about, laying the foundation so that we can continue to have that conversation. So what I'm going to do is let this one person get their thought out, and then I'll come back to everybody. But we're going to come back, and we're going to go into the topic of why can't I find a good man? Okay. Okay, one second. Let me see what this person has to say. Hello, 8115, you're on.
Hello, good evening. How you doing?
Good, how about you?
Wonderful.
I'm doing okay. I was listening to y'all talk, history, and all that, but I just want to piggyback off of something you said, Mika. When is the change going to come? We can't keep blaming what happened 150 years ago for what's going on today. I'm going to say one word the subject is why we can't find a good man. One word, media. Media, mm-hmm. You've got to stop letting media decide whom you want in life. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, if I see Kim Kardashian nigga tail one more time, you know, is that a role model for our children, for our own kids? It's the media. Your government allows a lot of this stuff to be set forth, and it sets a standard now for men. Where you got to be this size, you got to be this color, you got to be that. I mean, it's right down to the point where T.I. White changed the eye color. It's all about all this stuff that's going on, and the criteria, and you got to be this and you got to be that. It ain't about who's making the more money. Hell, you know, if we can get some bills paid, let's do this. But the black man is left at home. Back in, we're doing some history, back in the 70s where I grew up in, if a man stepped outside and did what he had to do, the woman at home knew that, the wife or whatever, but he always came back home. Now, the man, he just laying there. He ain't coming back home. He took care of home. Now they're not taking care of home. It's a lot of things that we could go on and on about. But for me, it's media. Media put this glam thing out here, and men go crazy over skin and sex and all this stuff. And we know what they do for athletes. They invite them to this party. They keep the money in like a nonprofit. Like they have these parties, so when they get these big contracts, black women are not invited. You know what I'm saying? I'm so sick and tired of black women always being put down, but we are the strong hold. And because of that, it's like we've been punished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a strong black woman. You probably can tell by now. There's nothing wrong with me being like that because I was a black woman that had to raise my son because the black man that partaketh in the other half of the chromosome decided not to. So therefore, us women that have to raise these babies and get our lives together and be the stronghold, we had to do what we had to do. And I do blame some women out there that do tear down men. When they get through this relationship, they come to another woman and expect this to happen. Oh, no, you can't walk around with your shirt off, breaking a 40, standing on my porch. No, we're not going to do that. I have a daughter in the house. What is your problem? It is a whole lot that's recovering. But that male, in my opinion, has gotten the less because of the things that he's introduced to. And if you want some history, back then, if he approached a white woman or back then, he knew he would get his butt hung. But now, I got money. We don't want to incorporate that with a sister. We want to go get the exotic woman. So it's all kind of things that are encumbered going on now today. I blame media. I blame these sports people. But really, the black man himself, he's got to stand up himself. When is the change going to come?
Ma'am, I just want to say something. Let me jump in real quick because I know everybody this is Shonda, is going to want to say something after that. First of all, I just want to hug you. That's what I want to do because I've just been waiting for that because what you just said is that's what I hear most black women saying about why they can't find a man. And let me just back you up because I got your back here. Because most black men aren't even looking for a black woman. If they're looking for a black woman, it's definitely not a black woman that looks like a black woman. We're so proud of the president's wife, we don't know what to do. Everybody, I don't know if we were more happy about him winning or him having a black woman that looked like a black woman as his wife. That's the kind of thing that women are wondering, what's wrong with me? Why is Kim? Now, granted, Kim Kardashian, in my opinion, she's beautiful. However, she's not a black woman, but that is the type. You don't see, and brother, I applaud you for everything that you said, but I don't see that many black men posting queens on the internet or when they say they like somebody or what they're attracted to. It's not a black woman. It's not anybody, even in their mother's image. And the most insulting thing you can do is have a mother that looks like a strong black woman, and you're the first one to raise your hand and say you want somebody that looks like she's white. What about looking somebody that looks like your black mama? That's what I'd like to know.
Okay,
and that's what a lot of these women want to know. I I don't particularly, of course, you know, I'm not really vested in this, so it doesn't matter that much to me in the grand scheme of things. But for my sisters who are looking, what do the guys have to say to them? Why do they feel so bad about themselves if they gain a few pounds? They won't be desired. Or they have to have a certain skin color, or most of them are bald now because everybody has permed their hair off their head. It's not because they just want it. It's because they think that's what you want, because that's what you're showing them that you want.
Okay, yes, my opinion.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I'm sorry. Okay, go from ahead. My opinion, it's you guys are talking about people with money, but and we do it to our men as well. And that's why I always look to Michelle and Barack as my, when I say this. Michelle did not get a breadwinner. Michelle was Barack's boss when they met, but she saw the potential that he had, and she dated him, and he got to where he got based on her, based on their relationship and her support. Now, I'm saying that y'all are talking about basketball players and rich men and Kanye West and men with money. As a woman.
Yes.
No,
I'm
a
talking
woman,
about the guy down the street.
As a black woman, if you want to find a good man, what is wrong with a man who's the janitor because he comes home and he brings you his paycheck, because he comes home and he takes care of his kids, because he comes home and he spends time with his family. But because he's a janitor, he doesn't have a good job. He's not going anywhere. What happens to the man that has a dream, that has the, who wants to own his own business? I'm not supporting that. A lot of times we don't see that we do it ourselves as women. We put standards on a man needs to have this. He needs to be making six figures. He needs to be having this kind of degree. We do it as well. It's not as outspoken about it, but we do it as well. We put limitations on what we feel is that is a good man as well. Oh, he got
two kids.
I ain't dealing with that.
I am more than willing to work with somebody because I'm a work in progress myself. But I'm talking about what's going on now today.
Why you can't
get nobody that looks like your mama. You got to get something that you got to showcase.
I'm talking about the everyday Joe.
Okay, I was saying everybody breathe. That means nobody talk. But because I heard your side, Nadia. I heard Shonda. I heard the caller. And Antonio, go ahead. And then I'm going to say my piece.
Just to add on to it, and one reason why bringing culture and history into it, like I said, we got to find out where we've been to get to where we're at now. We talk about slavery and things like that. What was slavery? It was economic warfare against black people, when you get down to it. Did that economic warfare ever end? No, it did not. To backtrack even one more thing, slavery was never abolished. It was reformatted. 13th Amendment says neither slavery nor voluntary servitude shall exist unless you've been duly convicted of a crime. So, yes, they can legally enslave you if you're convicted of a crime. So the economic warfare that's been made against the black man especially comes in many forms, and they do everything in their power to disqualify us from education and job opportunities. Getting back to the main to the topic in general, what defines a good man? Based on modern societal standards, women, I would speculate for the most part, has been told a good man is somebody who's financially successful. He can leave you a legacy. He can put you in a big house. He can get you nice things, a materialistic-based lifestyle. Well, the black man is the one who it's going to be the most difficult at times to attain those types of lifestyles based on our modern conditions. And it takes a change in the consciousness of the women. Yes, we've hit on all the valid points, the right points tonight. Yes, a change has to take place in the mind of black women. because when the when you all change your minds, the world is going to change. And I will go to the grave with that one. So what is the world waiting on? The world is waiting on women of color to refocus their mind, their body, and their souls. And there's
I'm trying to understand you, brother. I really am because I'm not. I can only think for myself. Can't think for me and you too. So I'm trying to figure out what are you trying to say. Women, what we need to change. It is the individual that needs to change. I can't make your mind up.
Exactly. The individual. When the individual makes a change, it affects the whole. But what if a bunch of individuals, it's not a matter of waiting on anybody. It's all up to the individual to make their change. So why everyone's yelling, why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? What are you doing with your everyday walk through life when you interact with children, old folk, white, black, purple, brown, animal? How do you interact with them? Because if you get an opportunity to drop some wisdom, some knowledge to a little woman of color, little young lady, little queen, do you do that, or do you just walk on by and say, oh, somebody else will tell her? Or do you do that to the young man? Do you stun them by actually saying something, straighten them up and going, listen here for one moment, young fella, I got something to say to you? You'd be surprised how many of them actually listen, but the problem is everybody's scared. They'll walk by and won't say anything. And for the few who do open their mouth, they stand out. I'm sorry.
I agree. I think that I'm just going to say this, and then I don't know what else I'm going to say after this, but I'm going to say this part. I think that there is a lot of inherent self-hatred within the men and the women of color, and that is what's affecting our relationships. That's what's affecting who we choose, how we choose them, when we choose them, the people that we're going to accept. So if I'm the type of woman who is not secure in my dark skin, my kinky hair, my big breasts, my big booty, then I'm going to do things that is going to try to adapt me to what's being shown out there on media, what I think these men want. If I am a man who doesn't feel like being with a darker-skinned woman is going to give them an up in society, then I'm going to choose a white woman. I'm going to choose a woman who is a little bit lighter than my mother or lighter than myself, because this is how I'm going to be accepted into society. So I think that's where we have to start loving ourselves again, get past the self-hate that we have, that we have adopted into our culture. Once we get past that, then we can start seeing each other for who we are. We are beautiful creatures who need each other, and we have to start working together as opposed to separately. But because what we want in this economic world of America, we have resorted to hurting ourselves by the surgery, or even the big booty thing, because that's something that's out there too. The big booty, I have to go and have some butt implants, something to get myself on this status where the baller out there, the basketball player, the football player is going to want me.
Can I say this, Shamika? I noticed this also in conversations that you have with your children. I grew up I have foreign parents. I live in a black neighborhood, but I went to white schools my whole life. And I noticed, and I don't know if it happened, if they just never really thought we would go there or if they just never thought it was a needed conversation. But, you know, I date black men. I will date out of my race. If the opportunity presented itself, but you know, I am with black men. My sister married foreign because we are foreign. But my brother, same household, same neighborhood, same two parents living in the whole same house the whole time, same school. He normally, when he does bring a girl around, she's Caucasian. And not till he was in college that he brought the first girl around that we ever saw that she was a white girl. And my mother was pissed. And she was just like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? She will accept whoever he marries, but she was, I guess, taken aback because she was white. My thing, when we were growing up, my mother always said, when she was referring to black girls as fast, as nappy-headed. My mother has straight hair. She is Indian. She's half Indian, so she has straight hair. But she always make these references that I don't think she understood because she's not American. She would always be like, you black Americans, or this, look at these little fast-ass girls walking down the street, or, you know, like she would make references to about black women that I don't think she realized she was making. And don't get me wrong, she is a black woman. She loves being black, and she's all about keeping the family black. But I don't think she realized what she was saying, and I don't know if that got into my brother's subconscious. You see what I'm saying? He was never told that Sally down the street with straight hair or at school with straight hair was a problem, if you understand what I'm saying. So are we as parents, now that we have our own children, men and women, are we saying to our sons, you know, this to me is beautiful. Your mother is beautiful. This woman, I think Salah Latham is beautiful. I think Nia Long is beautiful. Are we showing our sons that black is beautiful? Are we not even having the conversation? Because sometimes it, just because it's not said doesn't mean it's implied. And they're just seeing, okay, the basketball player that has the white girl, and they think that's what they're supposed to do, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, and I think
we have
to
teach our children what we think is beautiful.
Right. We need to start teaching our kids that they are beautiful, teaching them to embrace their body, helping them to have a greater self-esteem about the about themselves and the people that are around them. And until we do that, we're going to continue to support the hate that is spewed out there about us.
Right.
Oh, Lordy. This has been a very deep conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to say, it's 10:30. I know y'all, but I got to go. I enjoyed
well,
the conversation, and I enjoy what everybody had to say, and everybody made great, valid points, and I'm glad we can have these discussions. And everybody have a good night.
You too.
Me too. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. So the direction trying to go in, and it happens, you know, when we are having serious conversation, it happens where sometimes it just changed, the direction changed. And I did want to kind of talk about some of those points that Nadia made. What are some of the things that women are doing? But I do think it's deeper than just what is the woman doing. What is the black man doing as well to help these women feel more secure and trust that they are going to be there to catch them. And I think that's where it all boils down. We have to trust that our black men are going to support us, going to be there for us, going to hold it down for us the best way they know how. And when we can trust them again, I think that we can start opening ourselves up more to letting that good, quote-unquote, good man in. But it also comes down to, I think the black man has to see us embrace ourselves too.
Is the gentleman still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, you tell me give me your rendition. What's a good man? What's your definition?
Of what's a good what now?
Give me your definition of what's a good man.
What's a good man? Oh, wow.
The thing for tonight is, why can't I find a good man? You give me your definition.
I think something that defines a good man as well as a good person is anyone who you can get wisdom of some sort from. I mean, when your interaction with this individual takes place over whatever amount of time, it should assist in your progression to becoming bigger and better and greater, whatever you define yourself as. Because if you're with someone, whether it's man, woman, whatever the case may be, and it's stagnant, then that interaction serves no purpose. So whatever background, your man could have been 20 years in jail and be wise as a Buddhist monk and as timid as one, and you go, whoa, he did 20 years in jail. How could somebody like this do it? Who knows how it happened, but the fact is he's with you there now, and when you interact with him, you look at it as a benefit. You get something from it. You enjoy that interaction. So if you ask me what a good man is, I say to you ladies, someone who you can gain wisdom from, because at the end of your journey, it's going to be about what did you learn? What was the purpose of it all? All this interaction, when it get down to it, what can I say was accomplished? And that's just, I guess, my little quick answer to that.
So okay, that was good. But your definition is totally different from what you were thinking a few minutes ago.
It's different in what sense?
I mean, point taken. Another aspect of this is what is the man and the woman doing in the dating process? They're skipping the dating process and going right into we boom now.
Well, I think that is true. I think that men and women are definitely, I think that we have all become this microwave society where we want what we want, and whether it's good for us or not, we are accepting it. And then, but we have, this is what I think a lot of women do too, we have certain standards that we want in a man, but we don't live up to those standards ourselves. And I think that plays a huge role in finding the type of person that you want. What are your standards? What do you want? And the dating process allows you to see if this person is able to meet your needs. And if you're not dating, you're not taking the time to get to know the person, and you fall into these quick, high passionate loving relationships, quote-unquote loving relationships, they're going to end quickly with a lot of hate or hurt and damage. So
Right. Dating
is very important, because that's your chance to see, okay, is this the type of man that I want in my life? If it is, okay, what is it that he's doing that I know can add to my life? What can I do to add to his life? How can we uplift each other in this society, in this world, and where can we go from here? And then what are the things you're willing to compromise on? What are the things you're not going to accept? That's what dating is going to allow people to do, and it helps to build a better relationship with your potential mate. So I agree. We don't date anymore. What were you saying?
I agree with that.
Sorry.
Oh, just saying,
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I think part of it too is just so much emphasis is placed on the sexual aspect of it. Now, I'm a firm believer that sexual connection within is a major part of a good relationship. The amount of sexual connection, and too many people are going in it with the idea of I need to find out what's that going to be already. Because I don't want to put all this time and investment and find out 6, 7, 8 months down the road she don't get hit. And not to be funny, that's like a male,
wow,
everyday male mindset when they're out there trying to find this woman, or whether it's the woman looking for a man. Some women are just looking for a guy who can just slam them up real good. They don't care who he is, what his background is. Oh, girl, he feels so good, I can't live without him. So we put so much, society put so much emphasis on the sexual aspect of it that when most, I could say a good portion of these young men are out here looking for females, basically that's the first thing that come to mind. Oh, how good is she in bed? You know, everything else becomes secondary, which is priorities are out of alignment.
Takes me right back to media. Takes me right back to what the government allows. Takes me right back to the music, to what you see on TV, down to the commercial. You understand what I'm saying? We got that's what we're seeing. That's what we're up against. The best commercial that I ever saw was back in the turn of the century. When the one commercial said, "Is you against them," that meant that they were talking about the parents against the world that's out here. What they're being seen from Facebook to social network to right down to commercials they have naked. We seen the commercial, the girls with the wings and all that stuff on it. All of this stuff, these reality shows, all of this. It's nothing but putting out but sex and anger at the same doggone time. You know, this government is allowing this stuff.
Add one little quick comment statement real quick. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the human body. Part of the problem is we haven't been taught to look at the human body in all its glory without sexualizing it. Because whenever we see a breast, we automatically go sex. You see a penis, you automatically go sex. You know, that's part of the conditioning that we have to get out of. There's nothing wrong with the naked body. It's just the setting and the atmosphere in which it's being displayed becomes paramount, I think, in those particular situations. So,
and you're right on that aspect. They're just being sent the wrong doggone signal. All the wrong messages and all the wrong signals.
We are accepting all the wrong messages and all the wrong signals, and we are refusing to address those things that are wrong. We're refusing to actually sit out there and say, okay, yeah, you know, the media is teaching us to hate who we are as a woman, to hate the black man. We're refusing to say that.
Until we can
recognize it and say it, then I don't think we're going to ever get anything done by it. But we love to be in this little world of everything is okay. You know what? Racism is dead. Discrimination is gone. No. This is the way we're supposed to be. No matter what is out there to contradict it. That's just like my thoughts on it. Go ahead, Sonia. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't even think that it's not a lack of it being said. It's just the platforms aren't big enough because definitely media is part of the number one problem. But the powers that be, what do they control? They control mass media. They control education. They control economics. They control government and finance, plain and simple. So when you get to the media aspect is probably key because it controls the imagery. Picture, shapes, sounds are how they manipulate us through the picture, shapes, sounds, and colors that they display in front of us. So we do not control any forms of mass media, but that's why alternative media such as this is so key, so powerful. Even if it's five people tuned in, as long as that one person out of those five say, hey, I learned something tonight, and they can go to sleep and wake up tomorrow with a little bit better perspective on this reality, mission accomplished.
Yes. I love that you said that because we have to start supporting and being a part of, I guess, what did you call it, the sub-media? I don't know what you just called it. But we have to start
Alternative media.
Alternative media. We have to start supporting alternative media. Where we hear people of our generation speaking, people of who are trying to bring some change and enlighten us, but we don't support that. And that's because, like it's because of what this mass media platform is. And we are not supporting it, but I do agree that as long as we keep trying, even if it's two people listening, five people listening, and at least we're trying to make a difference and help people grow and teach them what is going on out there. And then how can we be better as a people, as people of color in this society? And if people out there listening, and you want to jump in, we got about 15 more minutes. You can jump in. You can just press 1 if you have comments to make. And you're listening to, since we're talking about alternative media, the G-Spot with Mika Ray on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. And we, of course, not only do this show, we do Brunch in the Basement with Javon on Saturdays, and she's normally, she will have a musical guest on, such as Cece Peniston and Monifa, but she's interviewing and she's talking about their life, the impact that they've had on our culture. And then we do Sunday Evening Shout on Sundays from 6:30 to 8:30. And, of course, it's me on Monday nights from 9:30 until 11 o'clock or 10:30, depending on what the topic is. So make sure you all tune in and subscribe, listen, share. We're here to help. If you have ideas, thoughts, or if you want to be a panelist on the show, just let me know and we will have you on. Okay. Shonda, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still here.
Oh, bye. I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that black men are here to, well, men in general,
are here to protect women. I think that's one of, it's just my opinion, one of their purposes here on earth. I think that all women want to feel that protection when they see this big, strong guy coming down the street. And I think it's the same in relationships. You want to feel protected. You want to feel like this guy is going to really take care of you, no matter what his job is. I don't really think, maybe there are, but I don't really think that women at this point even care. They just want them to have a job. They just want to feel protected. They just want love. I don't think it's about being a ball player, but, you know, I could be wrong.
I think that's an
excellent point. Excellent point.
A very good point. And there was an article out there, and I will try to find it and post it, that talked about that. You know, when are our black men going to stand up for their black women as much as black women are standing up for black men? We could talk about that for days, too. And it could be a whole long conversation as well. But it's true. When are we going to feel like our black men are standing up for us, are out there saying, you know what, girl, you don't have to have, you know, the weave. You don't have to have this. You don't have to look like that. You don't have to do that. You know what, I got you, baby. I am here for you, and I'm taking care of you, and I want you the way you are. I need you just as much as you feel that you need me. And men love to talk about that. And that's another thing, and I am going to do that on another show. They love to talk about they want to be needed. They want to feel like they're needed from a woman. But a woman wants to know that they are needed, too, by that man. Just as much.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It works both ways.
Valid point. I mean, we live in a society also where black love, black sex is magnified, black love is marginalized. Meaning it's the thing we see the least amount of in the mainstream media. Because even when you do get these people of color on the television screen, it's only the few, the imagery is so warped. They're even showing you, even with money, black men and women still don't know how to act. based on the imagery that they're showing us. So we have to ask ourselves, is it a financial problem? That's part of it, but it's also a spiritual slash emotional slash everything else problem. And we have to slowly cultivate all these little aspects of our relationships, because everything is in motion. Every relationship is evolving. And don't think it's just going to be perfect from the beginning to stay that way always. You got some good ones like that, but there's always going to be little bumps and nicks in the road. And when they come along, it's all a matter of how do you adapt to that. Now, if you're handling your relationship the way you were handling it 5 years ago, then you haven't made progress. That's not a good thing. But if the way you and your other half interact has evolved, meaning when certain issues arrive, you no longer argue, you know how to talk it out, you know how to express your emotions, you know how to be more open about it, that's progress. That's a reason to stick around. Because you say, you know what, there might be a little bit, there might be a bit more gold in this well right here. So we have to look at our relationship from a holistic perspective. You know, there's a thousand different things that you can focus on in a relationship. But the ones that stand out the most, of course, is financial, of course, is spiritual, emotional. How are those things progressing along? If there's an issue with one, is it affecting the others and vice versa? So there's no one resolution. It's a continuing, it's an evolving problem with an evolving answer, so to speak.
I love that. Well, I do want to make sure we kind of start wrapping up just a little bit, only because I would love for us to, like, take a moment of silence. Because right before the show started, the verdict came out about the Mike Ferguson situation, the Mike Brown situation in Ferguson. And I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm very disappointed, very saddened, very much so saddened by the news that there is no indictment for the police officer who murdered him. This is not a political show, but that's just, you know, since it is the Jeep Spot with Mika Ray, I thought I would share my opinion on it. And I want us to kind of like take a moment of silence, make sure we are praying for that city, because I'm sure there are some things going to happen over these next few days that we may not have expected. And if you're not in agreement with this, you know, there are a lot of petitions out there going on to see if they can get this a Department of Justice case. So, you know, if you see those petitions, make sure you sign them, because I think this is a serious issue. You say what now?
I was just saying you made a valid point. When people talk about it, how many are willing to be about it? Put your name on something. Go stand out there. Say, open your mouth.
Right. Definitely open your mouth. This is, and I think this is another reason why it's so important that we start coming together as a culture again, because until we come together and be a team and support each other, love each other, help each other do better, help each other to rise above what the media is putting out there about us, the more these things are going to happen. And, you know, Shonda and I talk about it all the time. We don't have the Martin Luther Kings anymore, you know, or the Malcolm X's anymore. And who is going to start standing up for us in a way where we are being heard again, our needs are being met, and this can finally be dead, you know, and it may never, ever be. But it can be, I think, if we start doing something and continue to talk about it and make a difference by trying to be better in our culture and better together and stop all the separation and division that's happening between us as Black folk.
Let me second that.
I agree, because, one, that's one reason that production that I'm doing is going in another whole direction. It's not another distraught black woman. It's not another. It has to be broken somewhere, and that's why I'm attacking a real social issue that needs to be attacked. It really does, but that's my part in doing it. If I'm going to be in this game, what am I going to do to change this game? Am I just going to be another person that's going to cookie cutter? Let me do this because this is what make money, or am I going to make a difference? What am I in it for? So that's why I'd be glad when my production comes. It's totally different from what somebody else has done. And I like the way you brought that up about, you know, when are we going to, you know, what are we going to do? When are we going to change? What are we going to do something to make something happen in another direction? Can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm in agreement with you on the Ferguson. I agree with you on that one as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And what were you going to say, Antonio?
I was just seconding that emotion. It's just, we're in a society, it's 2014, they just, as of today, told Black America, lynching is still legal. You can go out and murder a person of color and still get away with it depending on your position in life, your status in life. So it's 2014, we have to learn from our mistakes of the past. I mean, it's really about action in ways we can't imagine, and really the way we're going to get out of it is we got to definitely approach it from an economic standpoint. Much as people try to downplay it, it's a big part of the issue because that's still what's going on. The value, and that's why I say it's economic, because what do they say? What's the value of a black life when it's born and when it dies? And they do assign numbers to it. So I'm not saying that figuratively. I mean it literally. So, you know, we have to take changes from an economic standpoint and not just saying support black business, but actually supporting it. You know, I know in some areas it's not as common, but for the few that you can associate with, take that extra step to do it, because in the end, it'll be worth it. It will be. And that's what it takes. It is happening. The revolution will not be televised, but it's definitely streaming and accessing the airways through other manners. So it's going on. You just have to decide to be a part of it through any shape, form, or fashion you're able to.
That's right. That's right. I definitely agree. Well, I think this has been a great, great show. I think we have a lot more to discuss, and I will do a part two, you know, not anytime soon. We're going to wait until we'll wait maybe about 3 or 4 shows down the line, but we will do a part two, and I wanted to, you know, really, I want us to get to a place where we're really discussing some more of this and hopefully getting some people some answers and getting more thoughts. I appreciate you, Antonio, for joining today. And Michelle, I know she's still out there. She's just not saying anything. But I appreciate her for joining. And Nadia and Brenda, I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you made some great points.
Thank you for having me.
I loved it. Oh, it looks like, did somebody have a, no, okay, I just saw somebody. Okay, so Shonda, anything else before we go?
No, just thank you, Antonio, and thank you, what was the other lady's name that's still on?
Brenda.
Brenda, thank you so much for your input as well. Thank you both, and Nadia and Michelle.
I love something.
Well, go
Thank
ahead.
You.
You're welcome.
I hope
everyone has a. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Antonio. I'm sorry.
I was just saying thank you for having me. I appreciated the dialogue. I really enjoyed it. I hope you all have a wonderful evening out there tonight.
Okay.
Well, you too, and I hope you join next time.
too, again.
Bye, Antonio.
All right. You all have a wonderful evening. Talk to you later, ladies.
Have a good night. Okay. Bye-bye.
Love it, baby.